It's hiking season at Jesse Brown's. Hi, this is Bill Bartee, one of the outdoor guys from Jesse Brown's, inviting you to stop by for some backpacking, hiking, or walking shoes at Jesse Brown's from Merrell, Salomon, Vask, just to name a few. But also, proper fit is so important, and the professional staff at Jesse Brown's will get you properly fitted so that you're ready for that fall hike. Stop by for some hiking shoes at Jesse Brown's. The Carolina Outdoors is in session. Step on in. The listening is fine. You've got the outdoor guys from Jesse Brown's on hand. I'm Bill Bartee. Christopher S. Lawing from the Charlotte Science Project sitting beside me. Don Yeager on assignment. But Christopher, it's awesome to have you in here.
Well, it's awesome to be here. It's always a pleasure to be behind the microphone next to Bill Bartee, blasting up and down the East Coast.
That's right. And also available around the world via podcast.
Just that's right.
Head on over to jessebrowns.com. Click on social, and podcast is there for your listening pleasure that way as well. Many times here on the Carolina Outdoors, in order to talk about the present and in order to talk about the future, we need to look back in the past a little bit. And we're going to step back 100 years plus right now and talk about the American chestnut tree. So more than a century ago, 4 billion chestnut trees were growing in the eastern U.S. They were among the largest, tallest, and fastest growing trees. The wood was rot resistant, straight grained, and perfect for fences, for furniture, for building. It was also great. The nuts that came from these trees fed the birds and animals and people, until a fungus came about and wiped out all of these old growth trees. And that's where we are now, over 100 years ago, 100 years later, here in 2019. We're going to talk a little bit about the American chestnut tree, and we're going to talk about the American Chestnut Foundation, and we're going to bring Doug Gillis onto the airwaves to talk about the future of the chestnut tree, the American chestnut tree, if you will, right now. Doug, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Thank you, Bill and Chris. Glad to be on the line.
Now, how did I do on that introduction of when the parasite hit, the blight, so to speak? That was about 1918 or so, I believe, and it took...
Well, the blight was first identified in the Bronx Zoo in New York City in 1904. It had been present, but that's when it was first recognized. And then over the next 50 years, it moved southward as far as Alabama and just killed a lot of large American chestnut trees.
Well, you know, on the website, and a lot of what I just read off was from acf.org, and that's a lot of the quotes at the introduction were there, but also this: the tree survived all adversaries for 40 million years, but once the blight hit, it took 40 years for that tree to go away. But Doug, it didn't go away all the way. The blight only affects the top half of the tree, but not the root system. Will you talk to us a little bit about that before we get into the restoration of the American chestnut?
Yes. The fungus, which comes from Asia, attacks the bark. It gets underneath bark and then grows tendrils and then cuts the water and nutrient supply coming up from the roots into the tree. So the tree will die above where that attack occurs. The roots themselves are not affected by the blight, and fortunately, sprouts continue to come up even today from trees that may have died 100 years ago. And because of that, we can use the trees that are we call survivor trees, which are blooming, putting out flowers and pollen, to help breed a blight-tolerant tree through the American Chestnut Foundation and its chapters.
Now, were there any trees that just by chance survived the blight? And maybe that's what you mean by survivor trees. Are those at all, have they been studied to see, you know, why they resisted the blight or why they survived? Is that something that's ongoing even today?
Well, the survivor trees here in the Appalachian area, East Coast area, are just fortunate and have not yet been attacked by the blight. That's what we refer to as a survivor tree. American chestnut has no natural resistance to the fungus, and also there's another issue with root rot. It's very, that does affect the roots, but the tree itself has no resistance to this fungus that came from Asia. So once the tree gets a wound in it or a broken limb, the fungus resides in the forest on other trees, and it'll find its way into the tree and then sometimes just kill the top part of it and sometimes the entire tree.
Well, bring us to the future, or to the present, and then to the future, because the American Chestnut Foundation is an organization that, I guess, is advocating and working hard towards restoring the American chestnut. Tell us about the foundation, what its mission is, and what its accomplishments have been to date, and what they are working on for the future.
The mission for the American Chestnut Foundation is we're using the latest technology and plant breeding techniques with partners and using those methods to rescue the tree from what is now its functionally distinct state and produce a tree that is has tolerance to the blight and can be planted out into the forest and then sustain itself and help restore the tree back into its original place in the forest. So we're working on that. We have basically three techniques. One is a backcross breeding program, which we use Asian chestnut trees that have resistance genes in them to breed into the American. And we also use biocontrol techniques. There's a hypovirus, which the virus will attack the blight fungus and weaken it and then can actually keep the tree from dying if it's present within that tree. And there's also a transgenic tree, which the State University of New York College of Environmental Science and Forestry has developed, which has a wheat gene inserted into it, which activates a acid which keeps the fungus from becoming virulent and holds it at bay so the tree can survive. So that is one of the latest techniques, is this transgenic tree that we're working on to breed with other American trees and some of the more better blight resistance trees produced through the breeding program. That tree has to be released yet by the federal government for use in these breeding programs that we plan to go forward with.
This is the Carolina Outdoors. We're the outdoor guys from Jesse Brown's, and we're talking trees today. We got Doug Gillis from the American Chestnut Foundation on with Christopher Law and Bill Bartee. Christopher, take it away.
Now, Doug, you were talking about doing the crossbreeding between the Chinese chestnut tree, which is naturally blight resistant, to the American cousin, I guess, so it becomes 50-50, and then they become back-crossed with the American species, becoming 75% American, resistant to the blight. Now, what is the turnaround timeline on that? So are we talking, you know, 20 years before those trees can have an offshoot, or is it five, or is it, you know, what's the timeline on a turnaround off-crop of the trees?
Well, the back cross with each generation is roughly 5 years in an orchard where the trees can grow fast. And we have reached that point. We have been working on these back cross breeding programs both up at Meadowview, Virginia, and in state chapters for going on to 30 years. So we do have trees which we consider to be quite blight tolerant. What we've learned, though, through genetics work is that we originally thought there was 2 to 3 chromosomes in the American chestnut or in the Chinese chestnut that we were trying to capture the genes of resistance from, and we found that it's a lot more complicated than that. So the trees that we thought would be very good are on average maybe 70% as tolerant to the blight as we thought they might be at this point in time 30 years later. So we are reworking our breeding program and selecting out the best trees in our orchards and doing additional breeding work to ensure that the genes and resistance to the blight is as best it can be among the trees we're breeding.
Doug, you've got a prolific, or the ACF has a prolific website, acf.org, and on it, it talks a lot about the history of the trees, but it also talks about, the cash crops that were available, train loads of chestnuts going to market and that sort of thing. Why is it important now in the 21st century to work on restoring the American chestnut?
A good reason is to get the tree back into the forest and increase the diversity of trees within the forest. American chestnut was a foundation species, very reliable, late blooming, very good nut crop that wasn't affected by late frost, and it fed a lot of wildlife, bears, grouse, turkey, deer. Also, you mentioned people ate it, so it is a good food source for people. The tree itself is being used for reclaiming strip-mined lands in Appalachia, being planted along with other hardwoods, so it's a fast-growing tree that can help with that land restoration. It also is just a very good lumber tree, so we are right now using salvaged wood from barns, houses, and other structures that were built maybe 100, 150 years ago and using that lumber, but it's an indication that once we get this tree back that we get it restored, that it'll be a very valuable tree for providing lumber for various uses. It's a good conservation program, too. The American Chestnut Foundation is the first organization to try to restore species back to health, and we are getting there, and the work we're doing could be a model for restoring other species, for example, the hemlock trees and problems they're having with woolly adelgid aphid is an example of a tree that might benefit from the work we're doing and applying that to restoring the hemlock trees.
Well, Doug, before we go, really quickly, how can we help? Should we go onto the website and learn, or what's the best thing we can do to help out with the chestnut?
Go on the website, acf.org, and on the front page, you can scroll down, and it says, "Have you found a chestnut tree? Learn more." If you click on Learn More, you go to another page. Scroll down there. There is a chestnut identification program, which you can download. It gives you very good information about identifying the different species of chestnut, especially the American chestnut. Now, we need help in identifying American chestnut trees in the wild, and there is an application that can be put on an iPhone and other iOS devices called TreeSnap. And once that's on the phone, you can get GPS coordinates for the tree location and then register information about the tree. That'll be sent to a database, and then people will look at that, and then that will help us go back and locate the tree and include it into the breeding program and other work that we're doing.
Hey, there's one. Nope, that's a pine tree. Doug Gillis is his name, American Chestnut Foundation, that website, acf.org. Head on over there and participate. He's Christopher Lyon. I'm Bill Bartee. We're the Outdoor Guys from Jesse Brown's on the Carolina Outdoors.